んとも思えるような、そういうものが世の中を変えてきたわけですから、そういうのはだんだん日本も薄れてきてしまっているので、ああいう本を出したんですけれども、アメリカ誰でもそのベンチャーを起こさせる連中とか、そういう連中に非常に刺激になっていいんじゃないかという気がしますね。
Well, maybe in Japan as well, of course, in the United States, that changing something drastically in the society and the world, you have to have a very strong challenge spirit of vitality. Otherwise, you cannot really change the great world drastically. And certainly, you have to have a barbarism type of a spirit. Really, that will be the very vital to change the things. And that was historical things, because people who had the barbarism or strong spirit fighting against others could change the world. So, however, nowadays that kind of a spirit is really diluted in Japan, maybe in the United States as well. But that type of book, people who wants to really challenge it and change the things, will be helpful for the entrepreneur and the venturist. So yeah. Maybe really important for us to translate it in English.
A very interesting topic, and really not that much available about how that evolved in English. Right. And I know that here we only scratched the surface of that history in our short discussion. Yeah. And there's a book that does it all, that tells it all. So that would be very interesting.
まあ本当にですね、そういうその過去からどういうふうにしてですね、まあ特にこの KDDI について話したことを知らない人もいっぱいいるわけですから。そういうのも興味を持ってくる人も非常に多いと思います。で、やはりこう我々今ここで話したように割と表面的なことでずっとやってきてますので、もっとその本が全てその話してくれると、過去の歴史を話してくれるであれば、そういうものも英語に訳されてればですね、非常にいいというふうに私は思ってるんですけど。
それはもうぜひ、喜んでお世話します。
いや、We support you if you're interested to go into a translation as well.
今韓国語と中国語はすでに出版が大体決まってますけれども、
あ、そう、
まだ英語は全然決まってないので、
あ、そう、はい、まあ、それでぜひ、そうですね、それはおそらく相談をしてみるんだよね。
はい。
Well, actually, Nikkei Publishing Company already made a decision to translate them into Korean and Chinese, but not yet been. The decision has not been made for English yet, so maybe we can pursue in discussion.
That could be something for
Kikuchi. Yeah. One of the interesting speculations about the future is that there are already software programs that will do it automatically. In fact, Google will do it.
Wait, that's not
it. Oh, yeah, but it's quite so bad.
Right. Somebody has to prove
it. Someone has to prove it. Machine translation is...
Google なんかのソフトでもできるものありますけども、やっぱりそれ全部一回できたやつチェックし直さないときっちり直ってませんね。
直訳したんではやっぱり意味が、
そうですね、
意味するところですね、本当に。
Yeah, direct translation is not really a meaningful.
No.
You have to really have a taste.
You have a translator here, right. And I know I've done translation. If you look at a Google translation, it's...
Google の訳なんかも全
然... It helps you know what it's about, and that's about it.
大体のことは分かるんですけど。
まあ、きちんと感じる。I'm reluctant to bring it up in front of you. Yeah. But, of course, a human overview of computer translation is needed. But what I wonder is it way more efficient to get a...computer translation and then fix it and make it good by a human, or is it better just to forget the computer? And eventually I think we'll get to the computer doing most of it, but I don't know if we're there now.
訳の方法としてですね、そのまずコンピューター使って人間がそれにこうタッチして直していくの方が効率的にいいのか、それとももうコンピューターに、まあ、実質的にはコンピューターになると思いますけども、もうそのコンピューター忘れて人間が最初からやってたのはどっちがいいんでしょうかなという感じで言われています。
But
actually, it's better to start it by the man, or human being. I really feel
so. Yeah,
I'm
with you.
Is it salt and
pepper? Yeah, right here.
We all.
Everyone has.
Everybody.
ございます。
こっちもあります。
はい。あります。それぞれ置いて。
Just a quick bite.
Well, this reminds me of the In-N-Out burger we had in. San Diego
でハンバーガーをですね、インアンドアウトって割と結構あの最近出てきたハンバーガー屋のハンバーガーをサンディエゴで持ってって、あのまあ昼食こうやって食べたんですけど、なんかあの時と同じような感じになりましたね。
Wow, this is much better than there actually.
Oh, I thought I remembered that the In-N-Out Burger was Dr. Ian Mori's favorite California dish.
カリフォルニアに行った時は名誉会長はインアンドアウトのハンバーガーが一番おいしいというふうに思ってたんですけど、お好きだというふうに思ってたんですけど。
アメリカのハンバーガー好きですね。
Well, actually, I love any American hamburgers, so.
Dr. Inomori, I'd like to ask a question, because today you brought up the topic of Japanese history, and I'm very curious about your perspective on one person in Japanese history, and I think you must have very strong opinions, and that is Takamori Saigo. I'm sorry if I'm making you work when during lunchtime.
重要な人物の一人として最後高森さんがいらっしゃると思いますが、
Just interested to know what he thinks about him as a very ambiguous figure in history, in Japanese history.
今お聞きしていて最後高森さん私を思い出したんですけども、彼も地方でそして非常にまあ大使野望を抱いた人だというのがどうお考えかなと思いました。
非常に、人間味のあふれるそのヒューマニズムを体現した人でして、非常に根本的に人を愛するという そういう精神を持っていた人です。
Well, fundamentally, he did have a great character and humanism, and especially he loved the people. So that was his character.
Okay.
彼はあの歴史の先生なんですね。You are a historian, right?
In training.
In training. まああの先生になるところまでの教育をまあ受けられるというところなんですね。
日本では明治時代の人物で日本を近代化した偉大な偉人として非常に。
Well, actually, Takamori Saigo is greatly admired by the Japanese citizen and all over in Japan because he was the one actually brought Japan into modern era. One of the person who brought into Japan into modern era. So.
Yes, and then but then there was this. He had some reluctance later about the. Direction of modernization in Japan, so that there's that there was that ambiguity about him as a figure, and so that's why I was curious because when you read the histories, different histories of Saigo Takamori, you can feel different perspectives on
who he was. Yeah, yeah. まあ人によってはですね、彼の見要するにやっぱりあの彼は日本をこう近代化を持っていたということもありましたけれども、彼はある時点でやっぱり日本 その近代化の方向性に対して非常に反対したような気持ちを持っていられたというふうに聞いてましたので、
いやあの近代化の方向にあの反対したんでありません。それはもう彼はもともとから日本の近代化者だなと思っていた一人。なんであって、僕はですね、非常にあの近代化し始めた時にですね、非常に貧富の差が広がっていき、同時にその、政府の急に政府の高官になった、まあ、今ではそうでもなかったのが急に政府の高官になって日本の国を治めるようになった。その後は非常に腐敗して。栄誉映画を極めるのを見てですね、これじゃあ何の話にならんというんで、彼は非常に潔癖な人だったんで、それに対して反対をしたんで、非常にその一 般の世の中に反対したみたいなことを取られてしまっていますけど、そうであります。
Well, actually, there are some people, well, generally, you know, some people say that he was really against the direction of modernization of Japan, but that wasn't the case. From the beginning, he wanted to modernize Japan, and actually Japan went into that direction. But after that the modernization started in Japan, he had started to see the changes in the society, because there happened to be a big, you know, a large gap between poverty and the rich. So he was very sorry about it. At the same time, some people just came from nowhere, took the high ranking position in the government, and they started to have you know, dirty hands in the hand. So he was really, really worried about the situation. So he was disliked by those people. But from the bottom of the heart, you know, he wanted to change the direction of Japan into modernization. But some people said that, that he really against the direction of Japan, but that wasn't the case in some cases.
Well, you know that there was an American movie that was inspired by the story of Takamori Saigo. But it's an American interpretation of who he was. Because there's this movie, you probably know, The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise.
トム・クルーズのラストサムライって要するに、yeah. この西郷隆盛さんをモデルにしたような形のですね、映画が出てたんですよね。
Yeah. Not good history, but...
いや、まあ、あんまりいい歴史としてきっちりできてはいなかったと思うんですけども。それからやっぱりそういうちょっと違った味っていうか、まあ、見方をしているものが出てしまっているってことなんですね。
Thinking about history, I had a thought that I would like to get your advice on. That concerns the science, the advanced science, and the two science prizes in the Kyoto Prize. As you know, because we're doing one right now, we are one of the world's leading organizations that creates oral histories, and we have about 800 or so in our library. It occurred to me that we might want to think about recording the oral histories of those who received the Kyoto Prize, so that we have a permanent record done in a professional, highly organized, thorough, comprehensive way of their lives and their accomplishments and what they expect from the future. If that's an idea that you think is important, we could develop some thoughts about that. Communicate them to the appropriate parties.
Yeah. まあ、京都賞の中に2つの科学関係の部門があって受賞者がこの部門でいらっしゃるわけなんですけども、まあ、実は我々の組織というのは、まあ、今回こういう形でオーラルヒストリーをメーカージャンの部門に取っているわけですけども、まあ、私ども過去にかなりの人のオーラルヒストリーを取って800名くらいの方々のオーラルヒストリーを取って我々自身も世界で、まあ、結構優秀なそのオーラルヒストリーを作るまあ、組織ということで認められてて、まあ、今言ったみたく我々のライブラリーの中にも800名くらいの歴史があると。でそういうことを考えますとですね、その京都賞を取られた方たちをですね、ぜひそのこういうオーラルヒストリーなんかを取ってですね、彼らの今までやってきたようなその偉業とか、まあ、どういう人生を送ってきたかとか、で将来どういうことをまたこうやっていかれるか考えられるかですね、そういうようなものをレコードとして、まあ、残していくべきじゃないかと、ある組織としてですね、もしそういうことがいいというふうにお考えかどうかと進めることですね、もしそうであれば誰かどなたか教えていただいてですね、そういう話をさせていただけるようなことも考えていいんじゃないかなということを言われてるんですけど、
それは私はもちろん受賞者のご本人が本当に賛同してくれなきゃ困りますけど、そういうプロポーザルがあるんであればそれを出していただければ財団の方で検討させていただいて、ね、ご返事させていただきますが、まあ、例えばその化学ケミカルな分野に限定してと、まあ、4年に1回その来ますけど、まあ、そういう人を対象にするのがどういうのか、まあ、そのプロポーザルをそれを受けられるかどうか分かりませんが、出していただいたら 財団の方のご存知で検討させますか。
Well, of course, you know, first of all, with this, with regard to the oral, you know, recording like this, laureates have to agree on it.
Of course.
But if you have such a proposal, please submit it to the Inamori Foundation and let them review it first. And if you like to have an oral history recording like this, particularly focus on the chemist and so on, chemical area, chemistry area, then that's actually comes on every four years or so. So if you focus on just on the chemist, then it takes, you know, we have to select the laureate in every 4 years. But again, if you have such ideas, just submit to the Inamori Foundation, and I'll ask them to review it and get back to you for that.
I can push back some ideas about both about specific project in chemistry. Mm-hmm. But our oral histories are about science in general. So we don't have to limit it just to chemistry. We already have oral histories of a couple of the Kyoto Prize winners. And we also have the papers of one of the prize of the Kyoto Prize winners, who's also a Nobel Prize winner. That's Paul Lauterbur.
Who?
Paul Lauterbur. We have his papers. We are the repository for the personal and scientific papers of many people, including him.
I see. ぜひですね、それアイデアとして提案させていただきたいと思いますけども、まあ、ただ基本的には化学だけに限っているわけではございませんで、我々のオーラルヒストリーの中にはその一般的な科学も含めてそのインタビューしてきた方がいらっしゃいます。でその京都賞をすでに受賞された方のですね、オーラルヒストリーも我々の中に入っていますし、一部 その彼の論文なんかも入っているものがございます。で、一人はその京都賞をいただいて、後にそのノーベル賞をもらったポール・ラゾ
ポール・ラゾリオさんだったですかね。
で、彼なんか その、まあ、ヒストリーなんかも取っているということもございますし、まあ、あと個人的な情報もいろいろ持っているところもございますので。
はい、今度は、前食べて食べてくれ。
はい、
I put something on paper. Should I send it to you to get to the right place?
まず最初はこっちに送ってもらった方がいいですね。コンタクトもこっちだから。It's better for you to まずうちの方で言うんですか。Mm-hmm. Better to submit to us because we have been communicating already with each other. So
okay.
We'll transfer it to the Inamori Foundation.
Okay.
Good. Mm-hmm. For people. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We will see some of you again in April.
We'll
see him again.
Kyo-san, 私の課題に、この4月にサンディエゴの京都賞シンポジウムに出て、その足で。フィラデルフィアのヘリ財団にも行くことになってるんだが、かなりね、あんたり長いこと海外も行ってないが、一緒に行ったら言ったら、うんと言ってましたので、たぶんうんという返事だろうと思いますけど。
Talked to my wife that in April the San Diego the Kyoto Prize project will be held, and then after that I'm going to Philadelphia. And to my wife, I said that you haven't been traveled overseas for a long time, so are you coming with me this time? And she said somewhat like yes, so I think she will.
Good. I've seen many pictures of her in the Inamori Library.
奥様の写真は稲
森
ライブラリーでたくさん
顔を写真を撮って山内の方に来ていただきましたから
、うん、この誕生日私は美味しかったと思うんですけど、いかがでしたか。あ、テイストは
thought this tastes good. I mean this sandwich. May I ask your impression?
It's very good.
でも美味しかった。
Better than McDonald's.
このポテトは もう本当にアメリカの人たちはもうよう食べますよね。だからもう完全になるんですけど、これは私も 大好きなんだけど、そんなによけ食べられません
わ。Fried potato? Well, I think that this is many Americans eat a lot, and then we Japanese love this. Very tasty, but always as you look around, and for Japanese, it's a little bit difficult to eat all of that volume.
Right. And that's why Americans are.
Yeah.
Japanese are not.
You are very skinny.
I work at it.
But it tastes good.
You like to have a doggy bag for that.
I wonder where that expression came from. Doggy bag?
Well, literally, people used to take it. To their dogs, isn't
that right?
That's what they, that would be the excuse they would give.
It's not for me, it's for my dog.
Well, it's a shame to say they want to take it home and eat it.
Well, it's good to know that there are traditions like that that cut across our cultures and languages that we can share.
Yes, certainly. Thank you.
What did I do with that? He asked for a doggy bag. Yeah.
Thank you for the service. Thank you.
あ、持ってくるんでます。
はい。
止めた。
Are we going to restart? Are we going to stretch our legs? What's your preference?
Well, maybe we should have another 10 minutes.
Yeah. いいですよ。
Tell me. If you like.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I just want to know what you're expecting.
もう始まってもいいですよ。
Maybe we should wait until then, and we'll get our conversation here. So,
yeah, we can get the recorder somewhere.
Ah, this is my coin. I'll get my sweater. Hi, I'm
going to keep it on. I'll get my way.
So we are.
この順番で来てるわけじゃないですから。
そうですね。一人一人。
先ほどの三浦会長が、マイクロウェーブの作るのを2年、3年って言われてたんですけれども、実際は2年、4ヶ月ぐらいで。
それでいいや
ないか。そのぐらい。
そのぐらいのこ
と。大体それぐらいで。
Shall we?
Okay. I think we're up to the section on the Iridium venture, and it's, if you don't mind, I'll take a moment to tell you a story that relates to our lunch and to Iridium. Some of you may know that the element iridium is the standard by which the kilogram is measured. There's a block of iridium in Paris
that weighs exactly 1.0000 kilograms. And that's the international reference for the kilogram. It's made of pure iridium, and all weights and measures throughout the world are in reference to that standard. Over the period of time that that has existed, it has deteriorated. And so the 1.00000 kilogram block of iridium no longer weighs 1 kilogram. It weighs less. And so that means, by reference, all of you weigh less. So you are able to eat fried potatoes without worrying, thanks to the deterioration of iridium.
ランチから、話題をまた戻させていただくわけですが、そこでちょっとイリジウムに関して、話をさせていただきます。イリジウムの、元素でありますが、これは実は、キログラムの標準となっていることでよく知られています。パリには、全く 1.00000 キログラムちょうどのイリジウムの石があります。でこれを国際基準として、全ての世界の土壌鉱がそれを1キログラムとしております。ところがそれが劣化していることが分かりました。今測りますと 1.00000 キログラムであったものがちょっと少なくなっているということであります。ということで、ここにいる我々の体重も全てこれによりますと若干減ったということであり、フライドポテトをたくさん食べても減量したということです。
Of course, that has nothing to do with iridium, as we're going to discuss, but I thought you might enjoy that piece of knowledege.
今からお伺いするイリジウムとはちょっと関係のない話でしたけれども、そういうサイドストーリーがあるということです。
Around 1990, you began discussions with Robert Garvin of Motorola about DDI selling handsets made by Motorola, that and you and Kyocera and DDI investing in the Motorola firm Iridium, which was developing a network of satellites for satellite communications. Can you talk a little bit about your, what level of interest you had and what enticed you to make an investment in Iridium?
1990年頃に時代を移します。モトローラ氏のロバート・ガルビン氏と、DDI によるモトローラ端末の販売につき、また特に衛星通信のための衛星ネットワークを作るイリジウムへの出資についてお話し合いをされたと思います。ここでどのようなお考え、関心をその時お持ちになったでしょうか。そして、結果的にどのぐらいの投資をイリジウムになさったのでしょうか。
このいわゆる モバイルテレフォン、つまりセルラーの事業に乗り出していったときに、あのモトローラのガルビンさんの方、モトローラが開発しました、いわゆるマイクロタックという、その端末が大変斬新なデザインをしておりまして、それを導入して、まあ、そのセルラー事業の立ち上がりで成功したのは、それをもう一つの成果の一つの要因だったんで、そういうことで、モトローラと非常に、私並びに第二電電は親しくなっていました。そこまで。
First of all, when we launched the mobile telephone business, we used the MicroTac terminal that was developed by the Motorola, that means the Mr. Robert Calvin's company, and that has a very good design, and that was one of the reasons for success of the good startup of Cellular.
Garvin さんがこのイリジウム契約というものを発表、世界に向けて発表されました。私はそれをその直接ガルビンさんが聞いたわけじゃありませんけれども、新聞等で知ってですね、私はあんまり乗り気ではありませんでした。今携帯電話が一生懸命地上のマイクロウェーブを使ってやっているのに、ちょっと違和感があってあまし乗り切ってはなかったんですが、ガルビンさんが1992年にわざわざ日本に来られて、私にぜひこういうもうすでにご存知だと思うけれども、イリジウムという計画というものを やりたいと思うんで協力をお願いしたいと言って来られました。まあ多分ガルビンさんは、当時の第二電電というのはまだ小さかったですから、
あのいろんな世界の大手の企業にずっと話を持って回られたんだと思うんですが、あましいろいろ返事をもらえなかったためだろうと思うんですが、あの1年ぐらい彼が発表してから1年ぐらいしてから私のところに日本まで見えて、ぜひあの一緒にやろうでありませんかという誘いを受けて、いろいろ検討してみて、まあ、私じゃあそれならということになったんですけど。
So Mr. Galbin launched the Iridium plan, and I didn't hear that plan from Mr. Galbin directly. I think I saw that article on the newspaper, and I was not so motivated to join when I knew that plan of the Iridium, because we were doing the mobile or cellular business using the terrestrial microwave, and therefore the satellite communication, I had a sense of a little bit of the uncomfortableness, so therefore I was not strongly motivated do that. And but 1992, Mr. Galbin by himself visited Japan, and he asked me to cooperate to the Iridium plan. And perhaps it was for about 1 year after the initial press release of the Iridium planning. So therefore, perhaps Mr. Galbin visited many of the larger companies, because at the time DDI was still much smaller. Therefore, perhaps Mr. Galbin couldn't get a good response from other companies. That is why he had to come over to me, and he strongly asked me to do, let's do this together. And then I have, well, we had the examination for the contents of the plan and decided to do it.
私はそのイリジウム計画にあの最終的に話をずっと聞いて、最初乗り気でなかったのに、最終的にはじゃあ一緒にやりましょうと決めたのは、彼の話を聞いていましたら、あの我々先進諸国ではみんなその携帯電話もどんどん始まっておりましたんですが、でもちろん固定電話も完備しておるというの、それに比べて途上国の方々はその固定電話のも完備していませんし、もちろんセルラーもまだ始まっていませんし、そういうその非常に広いあの国土を持っていながら、その中でその通信ができないという状態、それでもこのイリジウムだった場合にはサテライトを使って地球上のどの地点とでも会話ができると、でこれはその通信インフラを国内に完備していない途上国の方々を救うために非常にこれは役立つんではないかと、つまり我々が投資をしてサテライト、確かこれは40、
66個ですね、
66個やったかな、66個のサテライトを上げて大変な投資をして、それをやりさえすれば途上国の方々はもう通信のインフラがどんな広大な国土であろうともできるわけで、発展途上国の方々の通信インフラの整備をしてあげるということで大変有意義なことだと、その日記がついて、それで私は賛同したと記憶しています。
As I said at the beginning, I was not strongly motivated. However, I just said that I decided to agree to do that jointly. So let me explain what was the process. In advanced countries, well, the cellular phone business has already started, and then for the terrestrial phones, most of the people have those installment of the fixed phone at home. However, if you look at the developing countries,They do not have the fixed installed home phones, and neither the cellular phones. And they have the vast national land. However, they don't have any infrastructure or technique for telecommunication. But if the satellites like Iridium are launched, and then on the surface of the globe, through the satellites, anywhere can be connected through the network. And then the people can communicate each other, even though they are people living in the developing countries. So I thought that, wow, this satellite system could be very much helpful for the people in developing countries, which do not have yet the infrastructure for the telecommunication. And in the case of Iridium satellites, total number of 66 satellites, and a huge investment was made to do that. And if this plan is successful, then even though one country has the vast land, but still the people can communicate each other. So therefore, I thought that we could be a help for the people in developing countries by having this satellite infrastructure. That is very much meaningful and significant. When I got notice of that significance, I decided to agree.
Hello. 今まで私がこの78年の人生の中で事業をやって失敗した唯一なのがこのイリジウム計画なんですけど、だからなんであの時にもっとやらなかったかなというふうに悔いが残ってますけど、
もっとや
らない、なんであの時にもっと頑張らなかったかなという悔いが残ってます。ただ一つの失敗。
I've been living on this earth for 78 years, but this isThe only solely failure of my business trial. So I have some regret at that, why I couldn't have made more utmost effort at that time, because this is the only failure.
あのモトローラがもちろんマジョリティで過半数メジャーシェアホルダーだったんで、あの私も役員の一人としてあの毎回毎回アメリカで役員会議やるときに出ておったんですけど、もちろん世界中の出資をした人たちが役員に入っとったんですけど、
Well, for Motorola, was the majority of the shareholders, and then I was one of the directors and attended the BOD meeting held in the United States. Of course, the BOD was composed of the major famous renowned people or the companies as a member of the board.
経営はあのガルビンさんをはじめとしてモトローラの人たちにも全部任しておって、まあ、もちろん要所要所で私はいやそれはこうすべきだああすべきじゃないかという発言はしてましたけども、あのインシャーシブを取るのは全部モトローラだったわけで、それにも任しておったわけですけども。
Well, of course, Mr. Galvin from Motorola has the sort of the initiative for the management of this plan. Of course, whenever I found the need to make advice or the input, I said to them that it should be done this way or that way. But still, the initiative had been taken by Motorola. So in a way, I just delegated all the management for the Motorola.
Motorola 社長が少しまあ大胆すぎるって言いますか、慎重さに欠ける社長であってですね、66個のサテライトが上がってですね、もういよいよ開業という時になってですね、その時にいわゆるその銀行との約束であったコベナンツをに抵触をしてですね、まあそのいつまでにこうするこうすると約束をして、そのそういう約束のもとにそのお金を貸して、まあたくさんのお金を貸してもらったわけですが、その約束を果たせない、くらまた例えばイリジウムの加盟人数のナンバーオブその個数だとかですね、そういうのがその約束と違うっていうようなことでですね、非常に銀行から責められて、でそれに対して非常に誠実に答えてなくて、非常にチャンプランな男だった。でそれで銀行団と決裂をして、結局はもう金を引き上げると言われてしまって潰れていったんですけども、その時にその社長をクビにして、俺がやると私、まあ、英語もあんましできないもんですから、本当はあの時に俺がやると言ってやればよかったなという、今でもちょっと悔いが残ってますけど。
Well, the then the president of the Motorola was a person with lots of the boldness or the ambitious. He was not a sort of the prudent or the careful person in running the business, and then launched the 66 satellites, and finally we were about to open the service, he infringed with the covenants made with the syndicate loan of the financial institutions. They were for receiving the huge loan. There are the sort of milestones of the promises of the covenants. For example, by this deadline, this, for example, number of subscribers should be this number, and so on. But he was not able to keep that. And then, and also, he was not sincerely communicating towards the bank sectors. So therefore, the communication was stumbled, and all of a sudden, the syndicate loan financial institution decided to stop financing. So therefore, that company or that plan was going to get collapsed. At that time, now today, I have some regret that I had noticed that of the character of the president, so I should have fired him, and instead, well, I could have said that I will do, but at that time I was not able to speak English, and I did not have that much of the resolution to do that, but still, that's been a regret to me.
I can think of a couple of reasons why the Iridium venture should not be considered a failure. One is that anytime someone attempts to undertake a project in support of people who are less fortunate, in this case bringing technology to people who didn't have access to it, I think the sheer inspiration of someone doing that makes it not a failure. But the other reason that it may not be is that I noticed yesterday when we went through the museum, the Inamori Library, excuse me, we saw an example of one of the Kyocera satellite handsets. And I think it was one of the first products made by Kyocera that was not a raw material for someone else, but a finished product that the company sold. It may not have been the first, but so perhaps that venture got Kyocera more interested in making products that were things that you sold to the general public rather than things you sold to other businesses. Is that correct?
イリジウムのおベンチャーですけれども、私は必ずしもそれを失敗とは見ておりません。いつの時代でもですけれども、より恵まれない人のプロジェクト、技術にアクセスが取れない人のために立ち上げたもの、おおむねそういったものは難しいことが多いわけですけれども、それが実現しなかったことを失敗とは私は呼ばないと思います。あともう一つは、昨日、稲森ライブラリーで見せていただいた実例で気がついたのですが、この衛星通信用のハンドセットがありました。おそらく、正確ではないかもしれませんけれど、いわゆる他業界へ、部品、あるいは素材として、納入されているKyocera さんの歴史の中で、ひょっとすると完成品として、しかも最終消費者に渡すものとしては最初の製品であったのではないかと思います。そうした、各他の製造業に渡すものではなく、一般のエンドユーザーに直接渡すものを作る手がかりとなった意味で失敗ではないと考えているんですが、ちょっと違いますでしょうか。
そうですね。それよりもだいぶ前ですが、もう5年、6年ぐらい前ですが、Kyocera はアメリカ向けの CB トランシーバーというのを大量に作ってまして、供給しておったことがあります。これはアメリカのトラックの運転手さんがハイウェイを運転するときにその そのあれはトランシーバー何トランシーバー今
CB トランシーバー
市民バンドね、はい、CB トランシーバーっていうのを供給しておりましたんで、何もこれが初めてではありませんでした。しかし、そういう意味では高級なものとしては初めてだった。
CB の V ですか
？B です。
B。AB の B。Well, well, actually, five or six years ago from that year, we marketed the CB transceiver for the truck drivers on the highway for the communication purpose in the United States. So therefore, in that sense, not exactly this was the first product to the overall general public, but we had that the truck drivers the receiver. However, in a sort of the high-end product, yes, it was the first.
Thank you. So we're up to the section on DDI goes public. I recall that when we talked in San Diego about the development of Kyocera, we got to the point where Kyocera, as part of its natural evolution, decided to become a public company. And the way you described it then, it was not a hard decision. It was very evident that it was the right decision, and it was smooth and the perfect moment to do it. Could you describe your thinking about the taking DDI public in 1993? Was it similar or different than Kyocera?
サンディエゴでもお話しさせていただきましたが、京セラの株式上場に関しましては何の迷いもなかったと、それは最初からそうすることは正しいと思っていたし、スムーズにいったし、それに関しては、パーフェクトにタイミングもあったというお話でしたが、同じ上場を DDI になさった時のお考えをお聞かせいただきたいと思います。93年というタイミングはいかがだったでしょうか。
ちょうど1989年ぐらいが日本のバブルのピークでして、まあ、不動産価値は非常に上がり、物価も上がっておって非常にバブルのピークだったんです。90年に入ってから急激にそのバブル経済が破裂をして、それで不動産価格も暴落する、株も暴落するというようなことが起こっております。ずっとその90年からずっとこう起こっています。で、私どもが上場しましたのは93年ですから、またバブルが弾けて3年しか経っていない状態ですから、決していい経済環境では、ありませんでしたが、 DDI は非常に成長を続けておってですね、非常に順調に業績を伸ばしておりましたんで、まあそういう悪い経済的に悪い時だけれども、株価は高い株価にはつかないかもしれんが、しかし私は私の持論で安い値段で一般の人に株を買ってもらって、そして将来それが値上がりをして投資をした人たちが喜んでくれると、それが正しいと思っておりましたんで、経済が悪い時だったけれども、あえて上場したんです。一般には景気のいい時に上場して非常に高い値段で株価がついて、その高い値段で株を買われた方々が後々株価が下がって損をされるというケースが非常に多いんです。私はそれは、してはならんと思っておりましたんで、まあ、上場の経済的には非常にタイミングで悪かったんですけども、私は株を買っていただいた方に対しては非常に良かっただろうと思っています。
Well, after 1989 or around 89, Japanese the economic bubble had reached its peak. So real estate price skyrocketed or any other consumer prices increased substantially. But in 1990, that bubble finally collapsed.The real estate price nosedived, as well as the stock price in the market. And when I listed this DDI was 1993, that is only 3 years after the collapse of the bubble. So in that sense, it was not the good timing from the economic point of view. However, the DDI itself was growing rapidly and our business performance results were getting better. So in that sense, it was not necessarily the bad timing, or the price given to the public offering might not be high enough from somebody's point of view. However, in a way, if we could offer a lower price to the ordinary purchasers of the shares, and then if they can have the increase in future, then investors will be very happy. I think that's a very right way to do it. So therefore, even though economic terms, generally speaking, that is not the good timing for listing the company, but I think that this is the good way to do it. usually people tries to make the public offering at the highest economic boom so that we can have the highest price. But usually in those cases, the stock purchases will be incurred with loss when the economic cycle is over. I don't think that's a good thing to do. So therefore, the economic state was not good at that time. However, I think for the purchasers, it was fortunate.
Mm. Going back to the beginning of our discussion this morning, we, in 1984, the Japanese government initiated the privatization of the telecommunications industry. And from my reading, it took until 1999, 15 years, before that process was essentially complete. And even then, all of the parts were connected by the entity called NTT Holdings. So I wonder why it took so long, or maybe that it would be natural that it would take that long to fully privatize what was a state-owned and operated industry.
今朝初めにお伺いしたと、一番最初が84年からお伺いしたと思うんですが、日本の政府はその時に電気通信を自由化するということのお指示を始められたわけであります、そして15年経って99年に、まあ、それを完了するということで、それで、まあ、それを見ていても、まあ、NTT のさまざまな上に NTT 持ち株会社があるということで、非常にその進捗というものは、時間がかかっていると。なぜこれほどまでに NTT の場合あるいは日本の場合時間がかかるのか、それとも当初からやはりもともと国営であったものを民営化するというのはこのぐらい時間がかかるものだとお考えでしょうか。
いえ、まあ、ことに残念なことにですね、日本は今そういう状況でそんな時間がかかるものじゃありません。それはもう結局巨大な、会社であると同時にもともとそれをそのレギュラトリーって言います、それを規制する官庁、いわゆる電気通信事業郵政省というのが、うん、まあ、官庁が管理監督をしとったんですが、その NTT のに入社する連中とその郵政省に入ってくる社員と、それは同じようにどちらも国家公務員で入ってきて、それで、まあ、同じようなレベルの連中、どちらかというとその現業である NTT の社員の方がプライドが高くて、役所の方が少し、その自由という時代もあったぐらいで、非常にそういう点では役所に対しても非常に強い力を持っとった。それが民営化されていったわけなもんですから、それを取り締まる、それを規制する役所の方もあまり力がなくてですね、それをガラッと変えていくということに対してはなかなか力が出せない。そこへですね、社員が何十万という社員を抱えておって、それが持っているユニオンの力って言いますか、これがその世論新聞とかそういうものを動かしてですね、自分たち その会社を従来のままの方がはるかに競争がない状態の方が楽なもんですから、それに抵抗をするというようなことがあってですね、それを勇気を持って改革をしていくという、自由化していくと、民営化自由化していくということにですね、辣腕を振るうような政治家もいなかったということがですね、停滞をもたらしたものなんです。非常に残念に思います。未だにその完全民営化ができてないということはもう本当におかしなことです。
Well, it was unfortunate for Japan taking so long. It shouldn't be so long. The first of all, the NTT, a public corporation, was huge company. In size, and also when we look at the regulatory agencies, that means the Ministry of Postal Service and Telecommunication, or that governing ministry had the sort of the mentality problem. But the real problem was the NTT public corporation had the rather higher status as the governmental organization like a Ministry of the Postal Service, and both of them are the public servants, and the sort of the similar level of the required knowledge and so on. But the NTT had, in a way, had the higher sense of pride for the NTT or their own status of the working for the NTT. And the regulating agency, the bureaucrats were, in a sense, a little bit more liberal than the NTT people. But NTT people were so snobbish that they knew everything, and sometimes they gave the sort of the oppressive effect for the bureaucrats. And the bureaucrats in a sense, understand the needs of the deregulation they wanted to do. However, there was a strong resistance from the NTT people, and the bureaucrats was not powerful enough to change the structure of the NTT. And NTT was a huge, gigantic company or public corporation in old days, and they have the several hundreds of workers, and they have the strong power of union. And those influence made the influence on the articles, editorials, or the public opinions in mass media and so on. And that means that they are saying as if the NTT was better in the public corporation, that would have been better for the nation, because they know that, that they are better without having the competition. So that was the strong resistance or resistance movement developed or manipulated by the NTT people. And they, perhaps the very unfortunate event for Japan was we didn't have the courageous, able, influential politicians to implement fairly the deregulation. I think that is the missing element in Japan. That's why this process was so sluggish, taking so long time. It is really a big pity, and even today we cannot say NTT is deregulated 100%.
The phrase courageous, able politicians is what we in English might call an oxymoron. I don't know if that translates into Japanese.
Oxymoron.
Courageous, able politicians.
Yes. Yes.
Three words that don't make sense in relation to each other.
アメリカでは言うんですけど、今おっしゃった通り、勇気ある、辣腕の優秀な、自由化を狙う政治家というようなこの3つの形容詞が一つにまとまった政治家はいないという ことわざ表現がアメリカにあります。
Well, what's interesting about that description is that the government wanted deregulation to happen. NTT had a management and a bureaucracy that didn't want that to happen. And at the same time, DDI started, grew rapidly,went public, continued to grow rapidly, and acquired a large share of the market, even with all that resistance. So if the privatization, which still is not complete, had been more seamless, could DDI have grown even faster, or was DDI growing at full speed no matter what was happening elsewhere?
Say it once again, the last question, please. If,
if the privatization process of NTT had gone quicker and smoother, would that have enabled DDI to grow any faster than it did?
という中で、おっしゃられたことを正しく解釈していれば、政府の方が自由化ということに関しては前向きであった。しかし NTT の方が官僚体質がきつかった。しかしその中でも DDI は急速に展開を遂げ、そして株式の公開もし、さらに業績を上げていかれ、マーケットシェアを大きく取られたわけですが、もしも NTT の民営化がもっとスムーズに進んでいたとしたら、DDI はもっと大きくなっていたでしょうか。
Exactly.
Okay.
What happened?
Good. Well, let's move to KDDI.
では KDDI に移ります。
Could you begin by describing your thinking about how DDI could merge with what had been a fairly intense rivalry with the Toyota-run Teleways IDO to form a conglomerate between those two organizations?
どのようにして KDDI で、まあ、特にその中でのテレウェイあるいは IDO といったかつてのライバルとどうやって、一緒になってやっていけたのでしょうか、あるいはやっていけると思われたのでしょうか。
いや、先ほども申し上げましたけれども、そのモバイルテレフォンの場合ですと同じ周波数を使って、一方はこの東京名古屋地区をやってるし、我々はそのそれを除く全日本で、会社を8つほどの会社を作ってやっておるわけでですね、バラバラなわけですから、これを NTT はもう日本全国を NTT 一社で、ドコモという NTT ドコモという会社で一社でやってるわけですから、これに対抗するのにですね、我々は、その東京名古屋やってる移動という会社と、で私はその8つのセルラー会社でやってるというのでは、所詮はですね競争するのに大変だと。最初は良かったんですけど、それで私はその8つのセルラー会社を合併をさせまして一つにしまして、そしてそれと東京名古屋をやっているトヨタ系の移動と合併して全国を一律にやれる、つまり NTT ドコモと競合するためにはそれしかないというふうに思ったもんですから、それをトヨタに話をしに行った。
Well, as I said before, for the mobile telephone business, we have to have the permit for the same frequency, and so Tokyo Nagoya was covered by the Toyota's group, and then I had the rest of all Japan having the 8 separate companies in each of the region, and so that was the fragmented approach. When we come back to the original target of competition, that is NTT. NTT has the nationwide coverage, right, by the NTT Docomo. So in order to compete with that NTT, well, this fragmented approach is not efficient at all. So Tokyo Nagoya was run by IDO, and I had run a cellular company in 8 different regions. And in the end, this competition would not make sense. And at the beginning, the regional or the competition against the IDO was a good thing to induce the energy for the other regions. However, our final goal was against the NTT. So therefore, I first merged all 8 companies into one, and I solicited the IDO to join us so that we can squarely face the competition against the NTT Docomo. And that was the only possible way that I believe in for the possibility in doing the battle with them. So that is why I started to talk with IDO.
ですから、そう思ってですね、まあ、しかし一緒になりましょうと、その、DDI がやっているそのセルラー事業とその移動とトヨタがやっている移動と合併しましょうと、そしてそれにいろんなこともありましょうと、まあ、メンツもで、その時に私が言ったのはですね、第二電電がやっているセルラー事業の方が素晴らしい業績を上げておるんですから、その東京名古屋でやってる移動よりもいい成績を上げてるんですから、第二電電の方がマジョリティを、株式もマジョリティを持って、そこへその移動をそのジョインしてもらうと、つまり九州合併という、それはトヨタが経営しているところなのにメンツがありましょうけれども、もうそれは、いろんなこともありましょうが、それは私は小さなこと、勝意を捨てて大道に就こうと、そのメンツとかそういうのにこだわっておったんではドコモに対抗するものが作れないんで、ぜひそういう勝意を捨てて大道についていただきたいと、大変生意気言いますけれども、豊田さんが私の第二電電に軍門に下るみたいな形になるかもしれないけれども、それはお許し願いたいと言って、順々とその道理を説いて説得をしました。
So that's what I thought by myself. So I started to talk to them that let's get together into one. That means the DDI cellular business entities and the Toyota IDO get together. But I think on the process, I understood that there would be a lot of factors, especially on the Toyota side, because they don't want to lose face. But DDI was far better in terms of the business performance compared with the Tokyo Nagoya based IDO, and our results was much better. But I propose, therefore, the DDI should be the majority shareholders after the merger under which IDO joined. So that is a sort of the absorption of the IDO into the new company. And I do understand that Toyota has a lot of difficulties in mentality or in terms of the pride, or they don't want to lose face, and so that cannot be a possible, or that might be the conflicts inside the Toyota. But I convinced again and again to them with the principle of my belief that in order to win or in order to fight against on the face-to-face battle with the NTT Docomo, if we adhere too much to the small differences, we cannot make success of that competition. We should make agreement in the general goals. Otherwise, if you keep to adhere to the small difference, we cannot make the grand goal to be realized. So I might be sounding too much presumptuous of myself. However, and also, if Toyota's point of view, the big high-class Toyota is going down to the umbrella of DDI, and which is not possibly understood by mentality of the Toyota. But still, I ask them to forgive me of my presumptuousness. But as a way of the business, please understand. So that's what I repeatedly convinced them. Hmm.
So I think negotiations are difficult between two parties, and they're even more difficult when there's three parties. And you've talked about DDI and Toyota IDO, but there was another party, KDD. Were they part of these negotiations and strategy sessions, or were they just sort of coming along for a ride?
そうした2社のネゴというのは非常に難しいものであったと拝察します、しかしそういったものが当事者が3社になるともっと難しいと思います、DDI さんが、トヨタの IDO とそうしたネゴをしていらっしゃるときに KDDI さんというのは、その戦略に最初から入っておられたのか、それとも途中から入ってこられたのか、どうだったんで
しょう。私は国際通信の方も第2年々 KDDI としてはいや DDI としては必要だと思っておりましたものですから、国際通信の KDD も一緒になりましょうという話はちょうどパラレルに進めておりました。まあ、当時KDD は国際通信で非常に利益を上げていまして、そして非常に贅沢な状態でした。その時にはあんまし、それは必要だということは彼らは感じておりましたけれども、大変プライドが高くてあんましいろいろ返事をもらえませんでしたが、トヨタとの話もいろいろ難航しておる中で1年過ぎて、1年丸1年過ぎた頃になりますと、国際通信の世界が急激に通信料金が下がって、国際競争で下がってきました。そのために KDD の経営も非常に苦しくなってきたと思うんですから、1年後に再度私が話をした時には、もう KDD はもうぜひ一緒になりたいと、もうつまりこのままでは自分の会社が存続できないというぐらいの危機感を持っておったもんですから、これはもう非常にすんなりと、もうぜひお願いしますということでした。あとはそのトヨタ系の移動がすんなり納得してくれるということがだけになりました。一緒にいろいろ話をする中で、トヨタの方、また移動の幹部も非常にそれに賛同してくれまして、うまくいくようになったんです。
Well, the international communication element of the business was regarded as essential for DDI eventually. That was thought from the past. So I, in parallel, approached the KDD also for the international communication. Well, but the KDD at that time was very profitable, and they were luxurious in doing the, any activities. So at those times, KDD understood in a sense the necessity to get united as one however, their pride was too high, and they had too much difficulty in saying yes to us. So we were having the difficult negotiation with Toyota, and in parallel, for that 1 year fully, we tried to talk to KDD also. But in that year, the, all of a sudden, because of the world competition, international communication charges was substantially reduced, and the KDD business, the operation got into all of a sudden the quite difficult the figures. And 1 year later, from their side, we would love to join you, otherwise that we cannot survive. So that much of sense of crisis took place inside the KDD because of the international price reduction. So the, as a result, KDD side was rather smoother because they wanted to join us. And so only condition for us was to how to convince the KDD, Toyota or IDO, and we wanted to wait for their decision. And but I explained to them, convinced them, and then eventually members of the management of Toyota and IDO came to agree to us.
Right. However difficult it may have seemed at the time, it did happen. And the three entities merged in 2000. So I'm interested in knowing what the finances were behind that. Was there, were there payments? Was there a stock exchange? Was there some other structure that happened in order to finance this new entity?
その交渉がいかに難しいものであったかということをご想像いたします。しかしながら一緒になった、そして3社の合併が2000年に行われたということですが、この九州合併のファイナンスについて関心があります。それは支払いを行われたのか、それとも株式交換、どのようなファイナンスの構造を持たれたのでしょうか。
これはもう株式交換をしてました。だから LINE 電電の株式に全てを交換してもらうという。
Well, we took the option of the stock exchange, so that means that all they exchanged with the DDI stock.
ですから、そういう意味では九州合併、移動も KDD も第二電電に九州合併したという形になります。
So in that sense, this is the absorption merging. That means that DDI absorbed IDO and KDD into DDI or KDDI.
株式交換によってね。
By exchange of stock.
So a small fish ate a big fish.
小さな魚が大きな魚を食ったという。
いや、その親会社の方が大きいんですけど、移動よりは、KDD よりはもうすでに DDI の方が大きくなってましたから。
Well, if you look at the parent company with Toyota, that might be larger fish. But the KDD, DDI was grown as aBig company than IDO.
Okay.
If you look at the DDI IDO.
Okay, right. They didn't eat Toyota.
Toyota を食べたわけじゃない。
Okay, good. Were there difficulties in deciding where KDDI would be located, who would lead the company, and what your own role would be in the new company?
KDDI 新会社をどこに置くかということで困難な意見の一致を取る等の困難はあったでしょうか。誰がリーダーシップを取るとか、はそして、三浦会長はどうだったでしょうか。
そこまで全部その下ごしらえてますか、その段取りを全部つけて合併ということに、まあ、なったわけですけれども、その時に私は DDI の第二電電の会長をやっておりましたんで、社長が奥山だったんですけども、そういう九州合併したんですから、私がそのまま会長で、残ればいいんですけれども、その名門トヨタの移動 これはまたもともと名門であった KDD 国際通信、それを吸収合併して、それで私がリーダーシップを取ってそれの会社の会長を続けていくということは、先ほど言いましたように消費を捨てて大道についていただきたいと順々と条理を説いて言って、結局は稲森どうだ稲森が自分が小山の大将になりたいためにやったんではないかと後々言われても心外だと思ったものですから、私は降りましょうと、そして新しい新会社にふさわしい、その社長はもともと KDDI の奥山氏がそのまま社長で、会長には私の友人であった牛尾君に話をして、お前ちょっと会長を合併した状態の会長を引き受けてくれと、別に何も仕事せんでもいいから名前だけでいいからと言って、まあ来てもらって、私は名誉会長という形に、で私だけが名誉会長になってもなんだから、トヨタもメンツもあるんで、トヨタ正一郎さんにもあなたも名誉会長という名前で就任してくださいと、そう言って、強引に私がその偉くなりたいためにその吸収合併したという、そういう印象を払拭するためにそういう形を取りました。
Well, we have made all the necessary arrangement or preparation before a merger or absorption merger of which actually took place. But I was in the capacity of the chairman of that time DDI, and the president was Mr. Okuyama at the time. And perhaps this was the absorption of the IDO or KDD into DDI. So perhaps some people, or in the original way, it should have been better for me to remain in the chairmanship. However, as I said before, well, IDO supported by Toyota, so they have high sense of pride, and that is sort of the thoroughbred or the high status. The KDD is again another thoroughbred or the high status enjoying company. So if I am positioned at the top of the merged companies of with those high status companies, even though I earnestly convinced all those top managers that the please discarding their adhesion to small difference, please share with us the grand goal together to achieve the grand goal of the competition against the entity. Well, even though he said, Mr. Inamori said that way, well, in the end, he just wanted to be the top of the general, having the two former high status companies. Well, he wanted to become, he just wanted to enjoy the higher status. Well, if the other people said that, that is a totally unexpected way of interpretation, and that's not what I wanted to expect at all. So it was not fair and it was not true, so that is why I decided to step down from the chairmanship. And president, for the running the business, that we need to have the same president, so there Mr. Okuyama continued to be the president, and I talked to my friend Mr. Ushio, the businessman. So after merger, could you please become the chairman of that merged company? You don't have to work, but just have your name on top of it. And then he said yes, and I stepped down to the honorary chairman position. And again, I didn't want Toyota to lose face, or I didn't want them to feel that they lost face. So I asked Mr. Shoichiro Toyota to be a co-honorary chairman, so two honorary chairman as a symbol. And so I wanted to wipe away of all the possibility that somebody else or some other people said Mr. Inamori just wanted to be more popular or having more control. So I didn't want to, I didn't want other people to have any room to say that, to criticize me. That is why I took that scheme of the positioning.
Good. From 2000, when the company was formed, to 2010, the uh, K, KDDI has proven that it too is a thoroughbred company and has grown and prospered over the last decade. So has NTT. So can you describe the relative position of the two entities now in 2010?
Relative?
The relative business positions of each company now.
Not the figure, positioning.
Right. How much market share does each have? Which is best positioned for the future?
ということで2000年から2010年にかけて KDDI 様ももうその名門になられたと思いますが NTT との競争の中で今相対的にどのような位置づけになっていらっしゃるのでしょうか、また将来はどうなるでしょうか。で位置づけというのは例えばマーケットシェアがどうなっているか、あるいは将来どちらがどのように動くかということのお考えをお聞かせください。
現在の会社の規模を大日電電と KDDI と NTT、全体との金額、金額分かりますか、金額は。
はい、金額
去年の売上ぐらい。
売上が、NTT グループ全体で10兆円です。
10兆円、はい。で、KDDI が。
KDDI が3兆4千億円です。
3兆4千億。規模です。
Well, first of all, in terms of the operating revenue, last year NTT has 10 trillion yen and KDDI has 3.4 trillion yen.
で、利益の方は？
利益は、NTT の、税引き前、営業利益でいきますと、NTT の方が1兆1170億円です。
はい。
で、営業利益の KDDI が、4430億円です。
オペレーショナルプロフィット。
オペレーションプロフィット。オペレーション。
Operating
profit for NTT last year was 1,117 billion yen, 1,117, and the KDDI last year's operating profit was 443 billion.
So both very profitable. But that gets through all of the questions that I had on these topics. And if it's okay, I have three final questions that I'd like to ask, and then we'll be finished.
これ以上がもう今回用意させていただいた質問です。もしよろしければあと3つ最後の質問させていただきたいのですが。Yes, please.
Okay. First one is that about a year ago, within the last year, you were offered an assignment that you did not seek, namely the job that you have taken withJapan Airlines, JAL. So I'm interested in knowing whether your experience has met your expectations going into the job and whether you think there can be a successful outcome to that very difficult situation.
1年前、昨年ですが、非常に名誉会長としては、関わり痛くはなかったのかもしれませんが、求められた、職にお付きになられました、JAL のことであります、そこで、稲森名誉会長に期待された経験というのは何だと思われますでしょうか。そしてこの苦境の JAL を成功に導くことができるとお考えでしょうか。
まあ、日本の政府、まあ、総理、並びに、企業再生支援機構というつまり JAL の経営破綻したの公正法会社公正法に基づいて、最近に導くその企業再生支援機構両方から私に JAL の再建の依頼それで会長に就任してほしいという依頼がありました。どうして私が選んだかは私は分かりません、その素晴らしい経営者と思って言ってくれたんだろうと思いますけれども私は航空運輸事業に 経験があるわけでも何でもないわけですけど、頼まれましたんで引き受けたわけです。
Well, the then our prime minister of the Japanese government or the government itself asked me to take this position of the chairman and also the Enterprise Turnaround Initiative Corporation. That's the supporting body to the court-managed bankruptcy company under the rehabilitation proceedings that JAL applied after the bankruptcy. So both of them, the prime minister and the Enterprise Turnaround Initiative Corporation asked me to take the chairmanship. Why me? I don't know. And perhaps they thought that I could be the excellent managers, but I have no experience of the aviation and transportation, so I don't have any experience in this industry.
あの、まあ引き受けた理由は3つありまして、1つはそのJAL がこのままそのもう倒産したままで再起できなかった場合には、今日本経済が非常に低迷しているだけに、日本経済全体に与える影響というのが非常にあの心配されるという、何としても日本経済を元気づけるためにもその象徴である JAL を再建しなきゃならんというのが一番目の理由。2番目は、まあ、再建するためには多くの人に辞めてもらわなきゃならんと、退職をしてもらわなきゃならんということがありますが、後にもしかし、その何万人という社員が残るわけですから、その社員の雇用を守るということは、これもやはり社会的責任として非常に大きいというのが2番目の理由。3番目は、やはりそのもし JAL が倒産してしまうと、穴一社になってしまうもんですから、一社独占であった場合には、料金の問題とかいろんな問題で独占の弊害が出てきますんで、私は先ほどずっと言いました NTT の独占に非常に対抗して苦しんできましただけに、何としても健全な企業が2社あって正しい競争をする状態をするないかと思ったのが3番目の理由で引き受けたんです。
There are three major reasons why I took that assignship. The first reason, or if the JAL went bankrupt and that is remaining unsuccessful, cannot be rehabilitated, and then even though now Japanese economy is very much sluggish today, then very big negative influence will be given to the whole Japanese economy. Well, JAL is a sort of the symbol of the Japanese economy, so in that sense, we have to revive Japan Airlines for the sake of the Japanese economy as a whole. That's the first reason. And the second is that in order to reorganize or to rehabilitate JAL, we have to ask many people to retire or leave the Japan Airlines. However, on the other hand, still tens or twenties or thousand or more of the employees will remain. Those will continue to work for the Japan Airlines. Then in order to keep those employment, I think that's the big responsibility of the society, that's a part of the social responsibility. That's why they protect their jobs for the remaining workers. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is that if JAL went bankrupt, then our remaining airline is only one company, ANA. Then if ANA monopolize the aviation industry of this country, then again the side effects will be generated, which I know it very well through the competition against the NTT monopoly. For example, the unfair airfare, the increase of the price, and so on. So therefore, I think in any of the domain, two companies in healthy, fair competition, that is necessary for the society.That is my strong belief.
まあそれで引き受けて入ったわけですけども、やっぱり非常に潰れるだけあって、社内の雰囲気も悪いし、リーダーシップを取る人もいないし、みんながその全社員含め幹部を含めて非常にうまくありませんでした。まず彼らの考え方を変えさなきゃならんと、会社が潰れたんですよと。 みんなで奮起しようじゃないかという先ほどから何回もここでも新たに話をしているようにまずその強い意志強い思いそういうものを何としても再建しようとそういうものがなければいけませんというんでそういうメンタリティの改革からまず手をつけました。
So I took that assignment to join AJAO, and well, that was the company which had to go bankrupt. So I sensed that reasons. That means the atmosphere was bad, and there is no person who take initiative of the leadership, and the management members were not so good. Therefore, I had to renew their thought from the first beginning. I kept them that you see your company is bankrupt and we have to rise ourselves up to realize the rehabilitation or revival of this company. For that purpose, we need first of all to have the strong will and a strong passion, as I repeatedly told you today. And so that was the first step that I did in JAL, that was mentality or mental attitude reform.
だから同時にあの航空事業っていうのは分かってないけれどもですねあの経営は同じだと思ったんでそういうことをやると同時に現場に足を伸ばしてあのキャビンアテンダントの方幹部連中も集まってもらって空港であの集めてみんなに話をしまたパイロットの連中に現場に行って集まってもらって話をする。もちろん全員に話をするわけには飛行機はしょっちゅう飛んでるわけですからだからそれはビデオにその私話したのを撮ってあと順番にその勤務が終わった人たちに見てもらうようにその人たちに私は心から訴えたのは現場で働く皆さんがお客さんから本当に愛されてこの JAL の飛行機にまた乗ってあげたいとなんと素晴らしいあの方々なんだろうと本当に皆さんがそう思うようなふうに変わってもらいたいとどこの飛行機乗るよりは JAL に乗った方が気持ちがいいし素晴らしいとそういうのを思われるような会社でなければ再建はできないと思うという話をコンコンと話を現場に行って話をしました。あのスチュアーデスそのキャビンアテンダント の中では年のいった幹部連中の中で、涙を流してあの感動しぜひ会長本当に年が行かれてわざわざ来ていただいて無給で我々の会社を再建していただくともうそれだけでももう申し訳ないと思うのに素晴らしい話を聞かせてもらいましたと言って、涙を流して感激してくれる連中もおりました。それやっぱし嘘じゃなかってなくて、たちまちに現場の方が変わってくれてですね今私のところに、いろんな方からJALは変わったと素晴らしくなったという声がいっぱい寄せられていますしあの今回の京都省に来られた高円宮妃殿下もですね先般海外から帰ってこられた時にJALに乗って帰ってきたと稲盛さんも素晴らしい今までJALはもう非常にこう若干横柄なところがあると思ってたけど素晴らしいあのキャディアベナの連中の態度といい親切さといい素晴らしいさすがやと思いましたと言って秘伝家も大変喜んで私に協力したのでだいぶ変わってきました。
At the same time, I said to them that, well, I have no experience in the aviation business, so I may not understand the aviation business as an industry. However, at the same time, I have the strong feeling that the management is management. So the manager's elements required must be the same. So I often went to the working floors, that means the cabin attendants, and then we had the gathering of the leaders of the cabin attendant at the airport, and then I talked to them sincerely and passionately, and another pilot's group, and I went down to the working floors to talk to them on a face-to-face basis. Of course, they are the crew members, so they are flying around, so therefore we cannot have all the people in one place, so that's why that my the talk was recorded in the video.And then after the finishing their job of the flight, they watched in turn. And what I said to them in my talk sincerely was that you have to be you are the faces of the Japan Airline facing the customers. So you have to be loved by the customers so that the customers think that if we are to take another airplane, I want to take that airplane or airline. And how wonderful, how cordial, how warm they were, or how the good feeling they gave to us. Well, that type of the experience should be given to the customers through you. And so, or compared with any other airline, Japan Airline was simply the most wonderful experience. That should be the feeling and impression to all the customers. Otherwise, no way for revival of Japan Airline. So I repeatedly, strongly, and persistently just tried to persuade all the Japan Airline staff. And some of the older managers of the cabin attendant, in listening to my talk, actually shed tears and seemed to have been quite moved. And they said to me after my talk, approaching me, "You are Mr. Inomori. You are rather the senior person, the older person, but you decided to come to Japan Airline working hard without receiving any salary for the sake of risking us for the revival of our company. I feel so embarrassed and we are very sorry. But I, on top of that, I was able to listen to the wonderful talk. And many of them told me like that. And I think those remarks was not just a made up our story. Within the last several months, the actual atmosphere in the working floor has been clearly changed. I have received many letters or the comments from the other people. Well, Dr. Inomori, Japan Airline seems to have changed. Well, the Japan Airline, the people, I mean, cabin attendants especially, become very, very friendly and very wonderful. And Kyoto Prize events was just held, and then Her Imperial Highness Princess Takamado was there, and she told me, "Dr. Inomori, I took the overseas trip, and from overseas I took Japan Airlines back to Japan. And then, wasn't it wonderful? And you have changed Japan Airlines. You should know that. Well, in the past, honestly speaking, those cabin attendants was a little bit snobbish, a little bit arrogant, but this time I had a wonderful time. They are excellent, friendly, cordial, warm, kind, and you are a really great manager, Dr. Inomori." So that was the present comment from, for example, from Princess.
で、2月に着任してちょうどこの9月の決算、まあ4月から9月までの6ヶ月の決算で、約1000億の営業利益を上げられるように、劇的な変化を遂げて、業績的、フィナンシャル的にも劇的な変化を遂げて、
And I took assignment last February, but we had the settlement of accounts in September. That means the Japanese first half from April to September. And all of a sudden, we came up with operating profit, 100 billion yen. So not only the atmosphere, the dramatic financial improvement followed.
Impressive. Second question.
That's my next one.
Thinking about your whole life, you started Kyocera, turned it into one of the greatest companies in the world in the production of advanced materials, semiconductors, many other kinds of products. You were instrumental in a complete reorientation of the telecommunications industry in Japan. You are now reviving one of the most important transportation industries, Japan Airlines, and I'm sure you will be successful. And yet, you are only a 78-year-old young man. And so I wonder, what is your next great adventure going to be?
2つ目の質問ですけれども、人生を振り返られて、京セラという会社を、世界一の偉大な企業にするんだということで、アドバンストマテリアル、また半導体、さまざまな対応化する生産の第一大企業にされました。そして2つ目は、日本の電気通信の業界自体の方向を完全に変えるという、その素晴らしい一助をなさいました。そして、3つ目が、今日本にとって非常に重要な、輸送 JAL を再生させるという試みにチャレンジされ、必ず成功されると思います。それでもまだ、稲盛理事長は78歳というまだお若いわけです。次のアドベンチャーは何でしょうか。
いや、もう次のアドベンチャーは考えておりません。まあ、世のため人のために尽くすことが人間として大事なことだと思っていますので、もし、来年再来年ぐらいに JAL の仕事がもう終えて、あとはですね、世の中のために何かしようと思ってますが、やっぱりやらなきゃならんのは、今その清和塾という中小中堅企業の経営者の方々、これ今世界に広がっておりまして、アメリカもニューヨーク、ロサンゼルス、シリコンバレー、今度シカゴにできます、
ホノルルですね、
ほらホノルルに、アメリカは5つですね。で今ブラジルにも3つあります。で今中国に両言の火のごとく、私の経営哲学を学びたいという人たちが増えておりまして、私の本が、北京でベストセラーに次から次へとなってまして、その人たちがぜひと言ってますので、そういう世直しのために世界の経営者の方々に私の哲学を教えてあげるという仕事がもう一つ広がっていますので残っています。まあ、もう一つは強いてあげれば、それはもうできないと思いますが、私はお坊さんでもありますので、衣を着てアメリカとかその他の国を回って、辻説法して歩こう、つまりお釈迦さんの教えを一般市民に説いていくという、これは通訳を伴っていかなきゃいけませんので大変ですけれども、それはぜひしてみたいなと。そして寄付をいただいて、それで貧しい子どもたちを助けてあげる。今私は児童福祉法人で、 親からいじめられ 親のない子どもたちを60人と、乳幼児を20人、80人の子どもたちを預かって、今そういう児童福祉施設の経営も私やってますが、世界中のそういう子どもたちのために集めたお金を、少しずつ集めた錠剤を配って歩いてもいいなというふうに思ってますが、まあ、そこまでやれるかというか、日本の国内では宅発をして去年まではおりましたけど。
Well, no adventure anymore. I don't plan anymore. But my principle or my existence itself, I have the mission to serve or strive for the other people's betterment or the for the society. I think that's the most or the highest calling for the human being or the people.And next year, or after the next year, if I could successfully end the JAL assignment, and for the rest of my life, I want to do something for the sake of the community or the people in the society. Well, one thing that I have to do is that, as I told you, that I have the business school or the management schools group. Mainly, the members are the mid-sized companies and the managers. But that group of the size is furthermore expanding. For example, in the United States, we have 5 chapters.Or the New York, Los Angeles, the Silicon Valley, or Chicago, and Honolulu. So expanding rapidly. And in Brazil, we have 3. And in China, more and more people are joining this, the Seiwa Juku, to learn the business management or the business management philosophy through this Seiwa Juku's the management school or workshop. In Beijing, one after another, the books that I wrote was translated and becoming a bestseller one after another. So think that the for the sake of the redressing the difficulties in the world, if I could help that way through explaining my own philosophy, that could be the remaining homework to me. And I have one more desire, but I'm afraid perhaps I will not be able to do it actually. Well, I have another cap, that is, I am a monk trained, and I sometimes in Japan wear the monk's costume, and then according to the Japanese, the Buddhists, the custom, sometimes we walk around actually in the streets, on the streets, and tell them the Buddhist teaching to the people pass by. And usually after explaining the Buddha's the principle, and then simple donation of money is given to that street standing monk. And that's what I wanted to do, for example, in the United States. Actually, I want to visit the street corner of the American town. Well, it might be a little bit hard work because I have to accompany the interpreters, but I wear the Buddhist the black wear and do those explanation. And if they are a little bit moved or in favor for that principle, usually a little bit money is donated. And then if I collect those monies, I want to redistribute those for the poor children in the world. In Kyoto, I have actually running the welfare facility for the children abandoned or abused. So I have 60 children and 20 infants. So in total, 80 children are living in my facility for the child's welfare. And so that is managed by myself. And in the world, we have more and more suffering children. So therefore, if I can receive those pure money, through the movement of hearts, so they put some money. So I should say that is the pure money. I mean, money of purity of mind of people. So I wish I could distribute those for the sake of saving the children. So that's at a street explanation, street preaching, street, in a way, not too much high-handedly, but explaining on the same level with the street workers. And if I want to do that in overseas, that would be very wonderful. Although I sometimes do so in Japan. 去年もされたとおっしゃいましたかね。
Yeah.
Up until last year, I sometimes did that in Japan.
Well, I must say,
あれはついてないよ、前後半は。よかったのか、あれは。いや、いいよ、今頃つけんでもいいやん。
テープ取ってますから。
大丈夫です。
ついてるの？
ついてます。
あ、そう。
視聴。
Still going.
I have to say, I'm not at all surprised that his next great adventure will be to help people in the world who are less fortunate, perfectly in keeping with his life, which leads me to my final question. If you could give, there are many, many problems in the world. There's hunger, sickness, prejudice, war, violence, injustice, many, many problems. If you could give one piece of advice to the leader of your country, the leader of my country, the leaders of the world, and know that they would take that advice, what advice would you give them?
If that advice is taken?
Yes. Know that that advice will be taken.
今、ひょっとしたら、それは しないかもしれないけれどもとおっしゃられた部分をお伺いして、私は、それをある程度予測していたといいますか、お聞きして驚いたということではありませんでした。そのまま最後の質問につながせていただきます。世の中には今問題があふれ返っています上、そして、病気、また偏見、戦争、紛争、暴力、不正義、こうした問題にあふれる世の中で、もしも、日本のリーダー、あるいはアメリカのリーダー、あるいは世界のリーダーにそのアドバイスをみんなが聞くということ
の前提でもしアドバイスを、理事長がなさるとしたらどんなアドバイスでしょうか。そのアドバイスを受け入れられるという過程で。
非常に難しい質問ですが、私は、一国のためではなく、また一個人のためでもなく、ましてや自分自身のためではなくて、広く人類が幸せであるためにと、その一点で物事を考え、その人類が幸せであるとあるためにはいかにあるべきかという、そういうスタンドポイントから物事を判断して、政策も全てのものを決めていただきたいと。どうしても物事を決めていくときに、世界のリーダーの人たちは自分の国のためにとか、または場合によっては極端に言うと自分のためにと、自分の国の人民のためにと、自分の国のためにと、そういうものを、そういう、それは全てエゴです。その全てのエゴを離れて人類のためにという、そういうもっと広いパブリックな視点で物事を考えて、それを実行していただきたいなと、そういうふうに思います。つまり己を捨てるということです。己を捨てて脇に置いて、その人類のためにという視点で全てを考えるということをしていただきたい。
That is very indeed difficult question, but I am there to respond to that question in following way. Not for the sake of one certain country, not for the sake of certain individuals, or needless to say, not for the purpose of themselves. Always have the viewpoint for the sake of all the mankind, for the sake of the happiness for all the people in this universe. Always are converging down to that single point. With that axis, I want them to think about any issues to be solved for the sake of the happiness of all the human people. For that purpose to be realized, or to be closer to get realized, how should the world be? Or how the decision should be made? Always, from that standpoint, the policies or any other decisions are requested to be made. If we look at today's leaders, it tend to give us the image that many of them are making decisions with the national interest, or in extreme case, for the sake of the people living in my country, or for the sake of particular countries only. Well, all those are, to me, in the category of ego. I would rather ask them to think about the viewpoint for the sake of all the human people, or all the mankind. In the truest sense, the broadest public viewpoint, I want them to do the activities. Or in the plain words, in my own way, discarding the self, or getting away of the egos, setting aside ourselves for the sake of the mankind.In every item of the thoughts. That's what I want to request.
人類を幸せに、人類そのものを全体を幸せにするためには、どうすればいいのか、というその一点で物事を考える。つまりその人間の善って言いますか、人間の良心、それに基づいて行動していただきたいと、そういうふうに 申し上げたい。
So here is all the mankind, all the people, and then in order to make happy for the whole people on this globe, how can we achieve that? Well, I just want to ask leaders to think about that singular point in their viewpoint. That means that I ask for their behaviors based on the goodness or conscientious part, which inherently exists in the mind of all the people.
It's completely consistent with the motto of Kyocera. Respect the divine, love people.
敬天愛人の京セラと全く、
はい、そうです、
合致する、完結するところですね。Yes.
Thank you, sir. I shall look forward to seeing you when you receive the Othmar Gold Medal.
ありがとうございます。またオスマゴールド
メダル、金メダルという
と金メダルを、はい、また、受賞していただけるのを楽しみにしております。
ありがとうございます。まずは日本まで来ていただいてありがとうございました。
Thank you very much. Coming to Japan all the way from the States.
Our pleasure.
どうぞ、まあ、ゆっくりしてください。どうぞ。
Well, please relax yourself. And...
Okay. これからどうされるんですか、あのもう東京なんかで帰られるんですか。
What is your plan? Are you going back to
Tokyo?
彼はもう明日ですね、帰られますし、彼はあの明会寺の講演を聞いてから。
あ、明日。
月曜日。
あ、そう。
So you'll be going back to the States tomorrow, right. And you're staying here to listen to his speech, you know, speech at the ICC 3 on Monday.
Yes. And thank all of you too. I know this is beyond the call of duty.
Oh, but very interesting. We could learn more.
Yes, So we will get busy on producing everything here. So.
今日はこれからあのちょっと DVD を起こしてですね、食べる前に今話したやつを全
部。あ、そう。私はちょっと隣でちょっとタバコを吸います
か。So you will have to be excused, and this concludes this session here. So.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
See you again.